house and with all of us together. It's good to see everyone. Our lesson today is the last in the series of Portraits of Salvation. Today's lesson is Welcome to the Family. And our key verse, focus verse, is For ye have not received the spirit of bondage again. We're free. The spirit of bondage again to fear, but ye have received the spirit of adoption. Keyword, adoption. Whereby we are enabled to cry, Abba, Father. Every human being has this very core basic need. And if that need is not met, life is never the same. And in actuality, if that need is not met as a very small infant, that infant fails to thrive and often dies. And you say, well, what is that need? Well, yeah, we all need food and water and all of those things. But this has nothing to do with food and water. This is the need, that very basic need that we have to belong. We all need to belong. We need to have a family. Just like God does not put us in little silos to live for Him. Oh, that would be so much easier. I wouldn't have to deal with people. Well, yeah, maybe, but not. Because we need to belong. And it is the sheer interaction that we have in belonging that makes us who we are. Because we belong. Merriam-Webster defines an orphan as a child deprived by death of one or usually both parents. And adopted is defined as legally made the son or daughter of someone other than a biological parent. You say orphans, oh my, yeah. Research that I looked at and that was included in the lesson says that there are anywhere around 140 million young children that need a family to love them. And I looked at some statistics that I did research on, and that most of the orphans are outside of the United States. And by far the highest majority of adoptions happen inside the United States. That there are more adoptive parents within the United States than there are worldwide, but most of the orphans are outside of our borders. Just some interesting facts. Our focus in the lesson today comes out of 2 Samuel chapter 10, I believe. I'm sorry, no, it's chapter 9. 2 Samuel chapter 9. And then it also has focus, which is where our focus verse came from, in Romans 8. Let me see if I can get this in a place that I don't keep being loud in it. So those were the areas of Scripture that this lesson is focusing on. But looking in Samuel, we find the story of a young man who was adopted. His name was Mephibosheth. But his story does not start in 2 Samuel chapter 9. No, his story really starts way before he was ever born. His story starts in 1 Samuel chapter 20, in verse 15. This is where Jonathan met David in a field, because David had gotten wary, very wary of being around Saul. When you've had a javelin thrown at you one or two times, and your life is threatened, verbally as well as physically, he didn't want to go anywhere near Saul. And Jonathan said, "Oh, but I'm sure that my dad doesn't mean that. Not really." David said, "Yeah, right. I'm the one that dodged the javelin." But they are making a commitment again to one another, because those young men had created a bond between one another, and they were connected. And in verse 15 of chapter 20, 1 Samuel, it says, "But also thou shalt not cut off thy kindness from my house forever." Jonathan said, "David, you are going to make a commitment to my house forever." And even when, the rest of that verse says that even when David's enemies were set, you know, were not bothering him anymore. What does that mean? Jonathan recognized that, hey, he's going to be king. I don't get to be king. I'm in line to be king. But I know I'm not going to take that kingship. I know that God has given you, David, the kingship. And I want you to remember my family forever. I want this connection between us to be forever. And then verse 17, "And Jonathan caused David to swear again because he loved him. For he loved him as he loved his own soul." There wasn't anyone closer to Jonathan than David. No one more important to Jonathan than David. And in this, two verses bonds together what's going to happen many years later in Mephibosheth's life. Mephibosheth was just a small child, probably somewhere between 3 and 5. I don't know that Scripture defines that. You would have to really get into history and count years and, you know, lay it all out. But he was a little guy. And when the runner comes into Jerusalem to say and announce to the whole city that Saul and his sons are all dead, then the children of the sons need to be hidden. Because this is the way kingdoms ran back then. And if you were in, you know, they would take an overthrow and kill all of the descendants of a king in order to set up their own kingdom. And Mephibosheth was trying to escape with his nurse. You know how fast little legs can run? Not very fast. I remember, maybe you remember, having a race with a little one. And you're just doing this. And they're doing all they can do to keep up. And you might need to even hold their hand. And so what happened to Mephibosheth is that they weren't making any progress. And the nurse scooped him up and started running like mad to get away. And in that run, I don't know, a rock. Probably a rock. There's not much green over there. Tripped. And Mephibosheth went flying. And she fell to the ground, and he was lame the rest of his life. Lame in both legs. And he grows up, has a family, and is taken care of in the best that could happen at that time with him. And David becomes king, and he sets up his reign. And when his reign is established and the enemies have settled down a bit, you go to 2 Samuel chapter 9. And David said, is there, starting chapter 9, verse 1, and it says, and David said, is there yet any that is left of the household of Saul? Is there any descendant left from Saul? That I may show him kindness. Why? For Jonathan. That promise that they made as young men. David is now established and can do that. And the only descendant that comes, that is able to come forward, is Mephibosheth. And he comes to David, to Jerusalem from Lodabar. And he is scared. Again, what did kings do with the previous king's descendants? They got rid of them. But David said, don't worry. Don't be afraid. I loved your father. He was close to me. And from this day on, you will eat at my table. So his royalty, the way he had grown up as a toddler, having whatever he wanted, the best of everything, to being an outcast in Lodabar and crippled to be on top of that. He's brought into the family of David. Now, enough time has gone on that he is a man himself now and has a family. And there is a servant left that was connected, and a servant of Saul's. And David takes that servant and says, listen, Mephibosheth, I have given him everything that belonged to Saul. And I want you and your family to take care of that land and give the profit to Mephibosheth. But Mephibosheth, oh, he's not going to live out there. No, he's going to live right here with me. And it became an adoption into the royal family. Not just someone out here on the fringes, but it became an adoption. And for the rest, there's one more time in Scripture, I believe. Brother Mike, you can correct me if there's more than one more time. But Mephibosheth shows up one more time. When David is fleeing from Absalom, Now remember, Mephibosheth really can't flee. And so he says, no, I'm going to stay here. And that whole scenario with him is misinterpreted. Hey, I'm turning coat here. And I'm going to stay with Absalom and be loyal to Absalom. But really, he's finding out what's going on and relaying to David, who's in hiding. And Mephibosheth is a part of that. And he has to make apology to everyone that fled with David and said, no, I'm with you. Because he had lived under the mantle. Can I use that word? The mantle, the protection of David's family from that time on. Adoption. $140 million orphans. And how many billion people do we have in this earth? And I'm sorry, but I didn't do research or crunch any numbers, but how many of those billions of people are spiritual orphans? The majority? Now, we were all spiritual orphans. We did not belong to the house of God. We did not belong to the royal family. We weren't born into it. Not naturally. But we have all had, and I hope taken advantage of, the fact that we have been adopted in. Psalm 51 and 5, David understood the fact that we are spiritually lame, regardless of how healthy we may be. And he said in Psalm 51 and 5, behold, I was shapen in iniquity, and in sin did my mother conceive me. We didn't have a choice but to be born spiritually crippled, an orphan away from God, not knowing and not belonging anywhere spiritually. Romans 5 points out again, Paul said, wherefore, as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. It just happens in our lives. Nobody has to teach us, although we can be taught things that we can't think of. But this nature that does not belong spiritually, this human nature that we are born with, keeps us as orphans spiritually until we find a place, a time and a place that our heart and our spirit reaches out in faith to something that is presented to us. Maybe it's someone sharing this word. That's what we're supposed to do. We're supposed to share the word. But even if it's not a word that is shared, it's a feeling, it's a sense that we share with someone just being around them and living around them. That gives us the opportunity to help others reach out and start that adoption process with God. And that process is all about the plan of salvation. That's how we are adopted into a family. Mephibosheth, he had to come to the court of King David in trepidation. Oh my, what is going to happen to me? And be convinced to not be afraid. It's okay. You are part of my family because I loved your father and I made a commitment to him. And our Savior loved us before we were lovable. He reached out to each and every one of us. Oh, no, 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 I sought him out. Yeah, there's a little bit of that. But he is the one that reaches for us. And he wants us to be a part of the family. That we can become sons and daughters. And as in the epistles, that we are royal. We have, everything has changed in our life when we come in to the family. And how do we do that? I think all of us sitting here know how we do that. We find that place of repentance. And then we ask to be baptized after we have an understanding that we need to be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ. That all of the wrong in our lives, that all the things that we did bad, all of those things can be washed away. Into the depths of the sea. As far as the east is from the west, where's that? Oh, it just goes around and around and around. You're never going to find that. And I don't know that anybody knows how deep the sea is except God. Now, I don't know. Technology may have advanced enough that they might know where the deepest place in the sea, and they've gone and looked there. I don't really know. But that's where our sin goes when we seek to be baptized in his glorious name. And then he wants to give us the opportunity to receive his Spirit. And that's when the adoption is complete. Now, is that all we have to do? Oh, no. We have to grow up in this. We have to learn what he wants us to do. And the epistles are full of that growing process of how to become more like him and how to focus on things more like him. That bondage that we were in, that place where we had no idea that we belonged. You might have belonged in a physical family that was loving and kind, and you had, well, most everything you wanted. Let's be realistic. And you felt like you belonged. But even in that situation in your life, I would venture to say that when you were by yourself, maybe when you laid down in your bed at night, there was that empty place in your life that you didn't know. It just ached. And you needed something to fill it. Now, I know this analogy is a bit cliche and it's been around for a really long time, but it's true. That's a God place. That's a place that Jesus Christ created in all humanity. That He wants to fill and stay there and not be just covered up and be like something else in our life, and it gets put on a shelf and say, oh, well, that's awesome. That was an awesome experience. That was an awesome thing that God did for me. And now we're just going about our life. That's not what God wants. God wants a very intimate relationship with us that helps us to grow to be more like Him. He wants to fill us and then walk with us every moment of every day, teaching us and helping us to grow in Him. There are scriptures after scriptures, and I highlighted a whole bunch of them here, that talk about how that connection, how important that connection is, how important it is to let go of what was in the past, that we don't need to feel like we're in bondage anymore, that we are free. Is that free to do whatever we want? Oh, no. I know folks that's what they believe. They believe that, oh, we're free. We live in this age of grace. We can do whatever we want to. And God will just forgive it. Well, that's not what I read. I read a lot about, you know, we don't do things lest we cause someone to stumble. And that He wants us to be holy and pure and all of these things. And that's all a part of growing in this adoption that God has led us into. Now, I said that many of you, I'm hoping that the home that you were born into was a wonderful home. But not everyone is born into a wonderful home. Sorry. Our real life relationships with parents are not always rosy and wonderful. But God wants to fix that in our lives. I know and understand, and I know there are others sitting here that do. I know and understand what it feels like to not belong. I know what it feels like from a very young age to lose.
and be shuffled around and live with my grandmother, whom I know she loved me dearly, loved my brother and I dearly, and I loved her. But that was only for this much time. And then shuffled to another place. And then just abandoned. But that is not what God wants for us. We may have that existing in our lives, in our physical lives. But God wants us to belong to a loving, caring, helpful family. And all we need to do is say, Lord, I want to go with you. I don't like what's happening in my life. And maybe it's not from that kind of circumstance at all. Maybe it's, I don't know, we're just willful. We're just going to go do whatever we want to. Doesn't matter what it is. Destroy our lives. Because there are plenty of choices in this world that will destroy us. So whatever scenario fits, God still wants you to come join His family, this family, and join it forever. Jonathan and David made a commitment forever. And somehow Jonathan knew. I don't know that David ever told him he had been anointed. Does it ever say in the scripture that he did? Now maybe he did. Because not everything's recorded in here. Just the important things. But I don't know that David ever said, hey, Samuel came by, you know, month or so ago, and dumped all this oil all over me and told me I was going to be king. To the heir. Yes. Yes, thank you for that. If we do not let God have a proper place in our lives, and that's Deuteronomy. Deuteronomy 5, 9, and 10. That would be a good reference to write down. Thank you, Sister Missy. I appreciate that for sharing that. Yes, God wants the reigning place in our lives. And so no matter where and what direction we're coming at this need from, whether it's from that place that I don't have a place to belong, unless you worry about me, God gave me a wonderful family at that point in time. I went from being a young person in a small home missions church and just getting the Holy Ghost. Been baptized several months before. Got the Holy Ghost in August. End of July, August. And
right after school started, probably 2 weeks into the school year, is when my father said, okay, I need to take this trip, and took us to the pastor's house. So Pastor and Sister Reed moved into being mom and dad because they decided that they would take us on. And I'm so thankful for the family that God gave me. And no, I wasn't officially adopted. We talked about it, but it didn't end up happening. But that's still my family to this day. But even more than that wonderful family, I have family all over the world. And I can get into a space with them. And the spirit within us draws us together. And we are family, even if we can't speak to one another. There is this bond that we feel together as the family that we're adopted into. And all we have to do to start that process is follow that leading. Answer the knock on the door of your heart. And open the door and invite him in. Now that's not getting the Holy Ghost. That's just inviting his influence into our lives that lead us into that path of total adoption. That we can then say Romans 8 and 15, and we can agree and we can experience Romans 8 and 15. It says, for ye have not received the spirit of bondage. When God gives us his spirit, it's not a spirit of bondage. The law was, I wouldn't say it's a bondage, but it was tied to this tradition that created this feeling of bondage. But the bondage that we are in is the bondage to the flesh and this worldly nature that we have. And so we have not received a spirit of bondage. That's our natural spirit. That's the spirit of this world. Again, to fear. There is no fear in God except for respect. We do need to be fearful of God in a respectful way. And know that he wants us and needs us to do what he asked us to do. That is a healthy fear. This fear is not what that is. This fear is anxiousness, trepidation. I just can't go there. I can't do that. And it backs you in a corner and keeps you from going and doing what God wants you to do. That's not what God wants us to have. That's relieving the fear of Mephibosheth. That anxiousness, I'm going to lose my head. Why on earth am I going to the court of King David? That's what this fear is. But ye have received the spirit of adoption, the Holy Ghost within us, that he promised that we could have. We can all have it. Anyone who wants it can have it. if they obey the book. If they let their sins go. I'm sorry, I don't want to live like this anymore. And that infilling of the Holy Ghost, before or after baptism, but it's not before repentance. Can't happen without repentance. And we can't move on in a walk with Him without repentance, because I don't know about you, but I'm still not perfect. I still have a nature that I have to crucify. As Paul said, I'm crucifying myself daily. I'm making sure that I'm not in charge, that God is in charge. And in that, we cry, Abba, Father. We have a heavenly Father. Jesus Christ will take us through anything that life tosses at us at that point. And the only time that we can get in trouble from that is if we let go and we say, I can do this. But He really wants us to stay wrapped up in His influence in our life, in His leading and guiding in our lives, so that we can move on. And most importantly, in closing, most importantly, that we're going to share this. That we're going to let others know. And all we really have to do is remember what it felt like when we didn't belong. When we weren't adopted. When we didn't have a place. We were just rambling through this world. But now we belong. Or He wants us to belong. Adoption. Lord Jesus, thank You for the opportunity to be Your child. That You draw us in. You love us. You comfort us. You do discipline us, but You discipline us and chastise us so we can grow more into You and be more like You. Thank You for that. And Lord, help us to walk forward just like this in that spirit. And also, Lord, bless the Perkins in Kenai as they're ministering, probably getting ready in a few minutes to do that. And Brother and Sister Pelletier are with Brother Lamas in Homer. And let's pray while we're getting ready to worship here that they are going to both places have wonderful services. And Lord bless you in Jesus Christ.